Laughs and some rants along the way.
There's a bear in my car. I'm leaving the bear there to die. I'm not opening that door until the bear is dead. You know what I don't mess with? Wild animals. Especially things that could kill me.
We'll give you an edge to beat the spread and so much more.
Write down the numbers. Like, use everyone's ratings, average them, figure out what everyone thinks the spread would be. We're all kind of on the same page about what these spreads are. It would be alarming to people to figure out when we get to that game, even if there's no injury, how much different numbers can change.
What do we call that? Wagertainment. It's You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Indeed it is. You Better You Bet. Nick Costos and Ken Barkley, we are here with you on BetQL, where the only BS you're going to get, bets and sports. Live on odyssey.com. Live on there. Let me try this again. Sometimes, you know, the robot.
Mulligan.
Ready? Right, here we go. It is You Better You Bet. Nick Costos and Ken Barkley, we're here with you on BetQL, where the only BS you're going to get is the stuff that comes out of my mouth. Live on odyssey.com, live on the Odyssey app. Odyssey stations nationwide is part of BetQL. And of course, the You Betters have congregated on YouTube. We appreciate each and every one of them at youtube.com/Odyssey Sports. As Ken and I get set to bring you the wagertainment for the next 4 hours on all things sports betting, proudly presented today and always by the Bet River Sportsbook. Deposit $250. You will get that $250 match at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers, at BetRivers.com. Also, make sure you download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com for all the tools you need to take down the sports books, including dem algorithms, including our fleet of experts, including those five-star bets. And when you check out, any subscription, promo code Costos, K-O-S-T-O-S, gets you 20% off when you have that checkout. BetQL.com. And the BetQL app. On this terrific Tuesday, July 27th in the year of our Lord, 2021, the show Twitter account, at You Better You Bet. We are on Instagram, at YBYB Sports. I am on Twitter and Instagram, at The Costos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S. Kindly follow me there. Ken Barkley is on Twitter, at Lockie Lockerson. You can follow him if you want. We got four fantastic guests coming your way today on this terrific Tuesday. Our pal Pete Prisco from CBS Sports covers the NFL better than anybody. Going to be going on his own personal training camp tour. We're going to check in with Pete on a bunch of NFL topics here. Betting markets with the great Pete Prisco. Matt Moore from the Action Network joins us talking NBA draft player props. Always love having Matt Moore on the show. Pete Futak, college football news, talking the Pac-12 and other big picture topics in college football betting. And our pal Cody Decker, Odyssey Sports MLB insider, talking, you guessed it, Major League Baseball. Plus, we got tons of National Football League coming your way from Ken Barkley and myself. Season-long bets for the Chiefs, Broncos, Bears, oh my, and so much more. We're going to try to make sense of the Pac-12. If Oregon, if Washington, if UFC can make the college football playoff, Ken's going to explain whatever the hell's going on with Arizona State, and if UCLA can make a run this year under Chip Kelly, along with NBA draft props courtesy of Ken and myself, our golf bets for the Olympics coming up in the Power Hour, along with all our bets for tonight in Major League Baseball. Set your clocks right now, 6:20 p.m. Eastern. That segment devoted to all our Major League Baseball bets for tonight, and I've got six of them. Ken Barkley, how are we doing today on this Tuesday?
Doing great. And you and I have talked about this a few times before, where it's late July. When we were in the middle of the NBA postseason, you and I would look at this part of the calendar and say, oh, like, NBA season's over. Football won't have started. Like, get ready for the slow time. Like, get ready for the time when nothing's going on. And because of just the weirdness of the summer, Euro and then into Olympics, and now training camps are open everywhere. Like, we already made it to the other side. We did it, buddy. We did it. Like, it took like 3 days. We did it. We just had to go through the late part of last week, basically, until the opening ceremony at the Olympics. And now training camps are open. Now we have a ton of news to talk about. We had Rodgers and Watson yesterday. We had training camp stuff today. We have guys signing. We have, like, you know, all kinds of media availability for all the people we care about. College football, we had the Texas-Oklahoma thing to get us into. Every conference is having their media days, and we'll talk about the Pac-12. Obviously, today they had their preseason media poll was released today, so we're already like neck deep in the football kind of preseason opening content discussion. There was no slow time. Like, we talked it up. It didn't really exist, and that's kind of the best part about this summer, honestly, is that from a content standpoint, we're already in football preseason time. Camps are open. A lot of fun stuff to talk about. So there was the good news is, we were worried about the slow time. There was no slow time.
Oh, no, we are just it's just hyperdrive basically from now until February, which is both right. Awesome and also really, really scary, really, really terrifying. But in any event, for right now, like the level of excitement, and it's not just us. I mean, I heard Joe Ostrowski talking about it on BetQL Daily, and he was tweeting about this as well. And I know people that do content in sports, whether it's sports betting or otherwise, this is it, man. Like, this is the best time of year by far is football season. And the NFL has always been my favorite sport. I don't want to speak for you, Ken, but I feel like college football is your favorite sport along with the National Football League. So like the excitement level right now is absolutely through the roof. And we know you, dear listener, dear viewer, wherever you're listening or watching the show right now, whether it's live or in podcast form, I know you share our excitement. This is the absolute best. Like we've actually got, like Aaron Rodgers showed up today, finally at Packers training camp. Like that part of the offseason can be put to rest. Everyone's showing up reporting to camp today. We've got preseason games on the horizon. You know, the regular season's almost here. It's like 45 days away. This is just the best. And we are literally going to be sprinting to the finish. It's a marathon and a sprint rolled into one from now through February. I'm so excited, Ken, to break it down here in the offseason, leading up to preseason and the entire regular season and postseason here on You Better You Bet. It really is the most wonderful time of the year.
Right. Let me ask you, because you and I have been kind of gradually going through everything. College football, I've been doing like the audio. Eli called it like the audio guide, which I kind of like because it's like an hour every Friday, like a chapter of a book, basically, with like big picture stuff. And we'll do that again this Friday. I don't know what the top. We have a couple potential topics. Maybe we can talk it out at some point about what the right one is. Heisman is one of them. It's going to be one of the next 2 weeks. I don't know if it's this week or not.
Right. I'll be in the Hamptons. Enjoy.
Right. Yeah. So Heisman or Hampton, you be the judge.
The Hamptons.
Nick will be sitting by a pool somewhere doing the pose, basically.
By the way, which is, and then once that's done, you've got me 6 days a week from now until February. So
right, exactly.
But you've been thinking, wow, I'd like more Nick. Well, guess what? You're going to get
right. Well, if you want more Nick, we are just around the corner. Let me tell you. So looking forward to that again on Friday. But I got to ask, how many bets have you already placed? We'll do it in two parts, like NFL and college football, because college, like I think you're probably waiting kind of just like I am, honestly, for a lot of this stuff. And we don't have to get into why I'm waiting on some of this stuff, because it's like just depressing with some of the news that we've had recently. But NFL, like, do you have a lot of bets in the queue already? Are we loaded up already and we're going to add more? Like, where are you at in your, like, the actual placing of the bets?
I would say I'm not like locked and loaded with a ton yet. I have bets that I'm going to place once we get through a little bit of training camp here. Some of them are already in. I do have a 1 week 1 bet already in, which I know is like not
advisable, that's good.
But I placed
I do not have any week 1 yet. That's the only thing I have. I think that's the only thing I don't have.
I have the Eagles Falcons over 48 in week 1. I already right? bet that. So,
like, which you're already so excited. That's the best part, is that you're so excited about this bet already.
I'll tell you what else, and we can do it here for a second, like the Amari Cooper news that he started training camp on PUP for the Dallas Cowboys. And I know we had this budgeted to do at some point during the show. This just shows like how pumped I am to bet the NFL this year. If Amari Cooper doesn't play Thursday, September 9th, I believe the date is. Maybe it's the 8th. So look that up for me, guys. I think it's the 9th.
The Saturday is the 11th, for sure.
So it is the 9th. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Thursday, September 9th, Cowboys at Buccaneers, current spread, Tampa -6.5. If Amari Cooper doesn't play in that game, or if he's like clearly not 100%, Tampa's winning that game by a touchdown or more. On-field handicap, you put Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis on the two other Cowboys studly receivers, CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. It's not like a defense that you can overwhelm potentially without Cooper like Dallas can do to other defenses in the National Football League. Tampa's run defense is excellent, so it's not like Zeke's going to be able to trample them. And you know Tampa's going to be able to score on that Dallas defense. So, Ken, I've already got my thoughts locked and loaded here, man, for week 1. If Amari Cooper's not 100% or if he doesn't play, give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers based on the on-field handicap Thursday, September 9th. So yeah, I'm raring to go with some National Football League and some college football.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I know you and I did week 1 already a little bit with Tampa and Dallas. My number's a little more than a touchdown. Likely I'll be on Tampa, and I just kind of wanted to wait for some of the stuff, like you just mentioned with the Amari Cooper injury. Like, what do we have on Tampa's side? Let's just get a little bit of news, and then maybe we'll put in some week 1 stuff. College football, I have some win totals. I'm waiting a little bit, just like I kind of just want to see where our country goes in the next like month or 2 months to know how many of these I'm going to put in that, like, where forfeits probably cancel and pay out and like, or don't pay out rather, and push and everything. So I don't have as much as I normally would, but some win totals in. We talked about a few on the show on some of the last few Fridays. We talked about Oklahoma to win the Big 12 yesterday. That would be another one. So got kind of gradually building the portfolio, but a pretty good amount. And for NFL, something we're going to do later this hour, and we can kind of get on with some more topics, but I really, really enjoy the process of trying to handicap the, like, weird, not award markets, but like superlative markets, I guess would be the right way to put it. So best record, worst record, most passing yards, most of anything, most rushing yards, most receiving yards, highest scoring team, like first coach to be fired, all of these kind of things where it's like the first of something. A couple of years ago, I just really developed like a passion for trying to handicap these
things.
Fun. I just think it's really fun. And I think we've done a good job on the show of doing a couple of those. And I told Eli in our chat, because I think Eli's in on them as well. They're really fun to do like on the air. They're really fun to just kind of like think through on the air and try to set up some guidelines for it. It's not like I have this master plan for any of these, but to try to kind of think through. Those have become kind of my favorite content markets to think through. So I think we're going to do at least one on the show today, and then we'll do a bunch the rest of the week.
I'll tell you what, we have time for it. We'll make time for it today. Most passing yards. I have a couple of thoughts on that. Just looking at them. We'll do that later this hour. I've got some thoughts on worst regular season record. We've got that budget.
How could you not?
Hour number one. How could you not? Well, I mean, I actually think like the pool of teams there, once we get to 20-1, there's a number of them. I feel like there's only like three or four that could feasibly be like the worst team in the league right now, like barring some kind of like injury, which you can't predict.
Right.
So I think the pool is a little shallow.
I have a couple bottom out thoughts, but I think you're right. I mean, it's sometimes you don't enter the season with a team as bad as the team that's the favorite to have.
Well, I know what you're probably going to say. You may say that like Philadelphia could bottom out this year. I'm more on the other side, but you can make the case for it. Certainly.
I have a couple. We'll do them at the end of the hour. I have a couple written down. Yeah.
All right. So why don't we, normally we spend the whole first segment, rambling about like our nights the night before, how the bets went 2-3 in baseball. Really couldn't have been better. Shout out to
my
the
first
Phillies.
500.
Good for you, buddy. Good for you. But we got a lot of National Football League to do. So why don't we, Rick types Beau Bichette. I didn't even realize. I guess Rick hit the Beau Bichette prop. Awesome. Great.
Right.
God bless.
Nick, extremely happy about that.
It's not that I'm unhappy about it. I just like, there's just so much that goes on and like, it's fine. Great. Beau Bichette over or RBI. Great. Last night for me, 2-3 in Major League Baseball. We will look to keep it rolling tonight with more Major League Baseball bets, 6:20 p.m. Eastern in the Power Hour. But let's get right to the National Football League here, Ken, because we have a lot to talk about and some big time training camp, position battles that we've got as a way to kind of, springboard into some of these conversations. And yesterday on the show, because of the Aaron Rodgers news, we talked a lot about the elite in the NFC, whether it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, whether it's, Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. But the elite team in the National Football League right now, at least according to the betting markets, the two-time AFC champions 2 years ago, the winners of the Super Bowl, that is the Kansas City Chiefs. And Ken, the Kansas City Chiefs report to training camp this year with an entirely revamped offensive line. Kyle Long and Joe Thuney brought in free agency. The Thuney signing, especially from New England, is one that I think will be majorly impactful. They trade for Ravens offensive tackle Orlando Brown. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is back after literally fighting on the COVID front lines as a doctor last season. They're drafting Creed Humphrey here. So it is literally an entirely remade offensive line. Mike Remmers is still there. We'll see if he ends up starting at right tackle. Kansas City, -1100 to make the playoffs, -335 to win the AFC West, win total 12.5. Mahomes +400 to win MVP. These are staggering like things to read out. +700 offensive player of the year, +500 to win the Super Bowl, the Chiefs are, and -6 against the Browns in week number one. Ken Barkley, we can start it here, maybe carry it over to segment number two, but your thoughts on the two-time reigning defending AFC champion Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh man, tough to bet an under on like anything. Tough to bet them to not do stuff, right? Just it's in the end, I think a lot of the like elite NFL teams, once they've kind of established that 1 to 2 year benchmark of success, which Reed and Mahomes have obviously done, and this is true with like Wilson and Carroll or Roethlisberger and Tomlin or Brady and Belichick when they were together. We're starting to get that with Allen and McDermott. Let's see if they can kind of hold and have the type of culture that those other programs have. When you start to get that. I mean, Rodgers and anybody, honestly, Breeze and Peyton was like that for a while, where it's just the win total can't be outside of a certain range of excellence, basically. Right. And if it was, it would be very incorrect. So like Mahomes and Reed, this will be their fourth year paired together. They've won 12 and 14 games. They've gone over their win total all 3 years. And this year's win total is higher than it's ever been before. But like, of course it is. It's also a season that's 1 week longer. Right, exactly. Yeah. And their win total last year was 11.5. They're going to be a high win probability in most games that they play. All of that's functioning normally. All of that's making sense. There's no like dings for them. Like there's no, like the con column isn't really filled with anything. Like, I mean, what would you fill it with? Complacency? Like, okay, we can be like, all right, like aging defensive players or like losses on the defense. Okay, but like the core of what makes the team good isn't really that. It's like their ability to just put up insane amounts of points. And if like that part of the equation is working, then in the regular season, they should still be able to achieve a lot of success. So, you know, right now I do not have a bet under or over on the Chiefs win total. I think it should be this high. I think that's totally justified. I think Mahomes should be as low priced as he is to win those things because the Chiefs are that likely to be the one seed. If you're the one seed, you can have the MVP. If you're the one seed, you can be coach of the year, et cetera, et cetera.
Ken, I've got a couple things that I'm going to put in the con box for the Kansas City Chiefs on the other side. I'm going to ding Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and the Chiefs coming up next. I'm not saying they're going to be bad, but I do think there are slight reasons for pessimism. More NFL betting talk coming up.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Lots of National Football League this hour on You Better You Bet, and really until the start of the NFL season, and then the entire NFL season, and then the entire NFL postseason. We're going to get to some wacky markets as we move along this hour. Most passing yards, worst record in the National Football League. Pete Prisco kicks off next hour from CBS Sports as NFL training camps open all around the country. It is a great, wonderful time of the year. Ken, in the first segment, you were talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. You're bullish on them. Why wouldn't you be? They're going to be awesome. But you did say, is there anything to put in the con box, like the negative box for the Kansas City Chiefs? I've got a couple things. I've got two of them, in fact. Number one would be this Frank Clark situation. Now, Frank Clark's expected to report for training camp. We talked about on things we're not going to talk about maybe like 3 weeks ago, Frank Clark literally arrested because he had a literal Uzi in his car, like something out of Grand Theft Auto, except it's actually real life. Andy Reid saying that Clark's going to be there, you know, until basically the NFL does something, Frank Clark's going to be on the field for them. That's kind of looming, I would say, fairly large over the Chiefs here, something that could potentially happen. And I don't really like the depth that they've got at pass rusher once you get past Frank Clark. Now, Chris Jones is obviously a stud, not really an edge rusher type, though. Then it's like Alex Okafor, Taco Charlton. These aren't really guys that inspire a lot of confidence or instill a lot of fear in opposing offenses. So that would be number one. But Ken, you're right. Like, this team is built on its offense. The defense gives up, you know, 27 points a game. Guess what? The Chiefs are going to score 31 to 35, and they're still going to manage to win 13 games. Here's the problem, though. And I said this last year. Remember we talked about this, I think, in the playoff run, right? What happens if Tyreek Hill gets hurt, if Travis Kelce gets hurt? There is not a lot of depth in the skill positions for Kansas City. This was something that we talked about heading into free agency, something we talked about heading into the NFL draft. And I get it. Kansas City spent a ton of resources to fix the offensive line after Mahomes literally running for his life in the Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But like, you know, if Tyreek goes down, you know, it's Mecole Hardman. And I know that fantasy people are excited about Mecole Hardman. I'd like to see Mecole Hardman do it before I believe it's actually going to happen. He was terrible. One of the worst Super Bowls you'll ever see a receiver have. It's like Byron Pringle. Like, there's no depth there, really. So it's like a Jenga like block, right? You take one of these pieces out, obviously Mahomes, that goes without saying. But like even like Tyreek or Kelce, and I feel like the efficiency of this offense is going to drop. That doesn't mean that they're only going to win 10 games, go 10-7, not win the division, not make the playoffs, not be a Super Bowl contender. But I do think, Ken, that there are some reasons for concern with Kansas City and that they're valid.
Sure. A couple of markets that would maybe speak to that a little bit. With any NFL team, you'll be able to bet on them to have a perfect 17-0 regular season record. Just like last year, you were able to bet on the elite teams to have a 16-0 regular season record. This is generally a sucker bet because it's just never, ever happens, basically. And I think it takes a lot of luck to make it happen. Why don't you just bet this team like all season to win all of their games? You'll probably find a lot of really good spots to do that rather than have to like hold on to this ticket that seems really unlikely to happen. I wouldn't bet them to win all of their regular season games. I guess that goes without saying, but like, you know, I just think they're going to win like 12 or 13 games a lot of the time. The other one that I wanted to bring up was the yes on playoffs. And I'm going to guess that there are a lot of casual bettors that'll be enticed because they're always enticed by propositions like this, where it's like, well, how could it ever lose? Right? Like these things just happen all the time. This is why you parlay big favorites in the NFL or college football every Saturday or Sunday. We all know friends who just put together these money line parlays or lay a ton of juice on something that seems like a sure thing. With odds like at the bottom on our scroll at the bottom of our screen, I see -1,000. I could be
1,100.
I believe it's more than that in some places too. With odds like that, you start to get to the point where the likelihood of a quarterback injury actually becomes equal to like the price that you're paying, where it's actually just not even close to a valuable bet. Like these two things become the same. Like if the Chiefs get to a point where they're like 97% to make the playoffs or something in the market, it's like, well, is there a 3% chance Mahomes misses like six games? Maybe. Like he already got hurt against Denver a couple years ago. You know, it just, it's these two things start to merge. So it's not that the bet won't win. It's going to win a lot of the time, but I just, in the NFL where, you know, health of players is always such a dicey proposition, and there are very few games to overcome injuries to players. That's another thing. Like in the NBA, there are injuries to star players, but the teams have so many more games to overcome those injuries or to, you know, make trades, make changes to do certain things to their roster. And motivation in the NBA is so important. Like you can get to the end and still have the desired record that you want. And in the NFL, obviously with injuries, you can't. So I would always argue against the really, really high juice propositions like that, especially at that range where it's like Kansas City or Baltimore or like New England back in the day. Everyone's like, well, why wouldn't I just bet them to win the AFC East minus 1,000? And it's like, well, because the true odds are probably about minus 1,000. Like that's probably why you wouldn't bet it. Like there's not actually any value there, even though it's going to hit a lot of the time. So just with the Chiefs, they're the perfect. I just wanted to say that there because they're the perfect example of a team that feels safe to bet all of those things. But I think if the NFL shows us, you know, things all the time, it's that it can be extremely volatile. And when it goes south quickly for teams. Like think about Dallas in the first part of that year of last season with Dak getting hurt. You know, like once something like that happens, the snowball effect is just insane in terms of how quickly a team either packs it in or plays very poorly. So I would not lay like those types of prices on things to happen in the NFL over the course of the season.
Just out of curiosity, Kansas City, week one, Sunday, September 12th.
Yeah.
Minus six at home against the Cleveland Browns in a rematch of the divisional round playoff game we saw this past January, total 52.5. If you had to bet the game right now, and you don't, but if you had to, where would you be leaning? KC minus six, 52.5.
This, I believe this fell into the week one trends thing that you and I did a couple weeks ago, right? Where it's like team that won double digits, like dog on the road in week one. Something like that the week before. I think that's one of them that just hits at an insane clip. And I think Cleveland falls into that category. I seem to remember my number on the game being very, very close to this. I have it up. Okay. Yes. All right. Yeah. I'm like very close. I think I'm like 6.5 on this. So I don't have a strong desire to bet the game. If I had to bet the game, what would I do? Oh man. If I had to bet the game, I'd probably bet Kansas City. I probably would.
I think I'm taking them points.
Yeah. Like but this number and this particular matchup doesn't make me want to make a bet. That's the other thing.
Right.
Like,
you know what makes me want to make a bet? That it's week one in the National Football League. That makes
sure.
me
want to bet. You know what else makes me want to make a bet? A bevy of other options in week one other than Cleveland. Sure. Like, you know what I want to do? Watch this game. Right. Like that's what I want to do. And probably sweat my hope Kansas City.
Who did
City
we
wins.
Have on? Tom Verducci last week was like, yes. I don't bet because I want to enjoy the games. He's the smartest guy in the world, man.
Right. I'm fine. Just following Tom's lead when it comes to Cleveland and Kansas City. I will almost undoubtedly have Cleveland win total under tickets. So I will be sweating those as well, needing Kansas City to win.
All right. You bet BetQL. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley talking National Football League with training camps open around the country. I want to stay in the AFC West. Let's move from Kansas City to the Los Angeles Chargers, which is a team that I really like heading into the season. They signed their first round tackle, Rashawn Slater. This is an offensive line that's expected to be much improved. The coaching staff even if you out there listening or watching, even if you don't like Brandon Staley for whatever reason, you have to acknowledge that it's going to be an upgrade on Anthony Lynn. I'm holding a water bottle up right now for people that are watching. This water bottle would be an upgrade on Anthony Lynn. The coaching staff is going to be better this year for the Chargers. Justin Herbert in year two. Chargers to make the postseason, Ken, plus 130, plus 160 to miss. I think that's wrong. Plus 575 to win the division. Win total.
Wait, do that again. Do the make miss again. I feel like
I got this wrong. Plus 130, minus 160. I wrote that incorrectly.
So it's minus 160 to miss, right?
I believe so. Eli, if I got that wrong, just type it to us here. Herbert, 20-1 MVP, 33-1 to win the Super Bowl, minus 1.5 on the road at the Washington football team in week one.
So he's 23-1 to win MVP and they're 33 to win the Super Bowl?
20-1 Herbert MVP, 33-1 Super Bowl.
Okay. I don't think I'm going to end up with bets on this team. I think I would rather, I'll reframe the question. What would you rather bet, them to win the Super Bowl or him to win MVP?
I want to bet them to go over 9 wins.
That didn't answer my question though.
Well, that's my answer to the question. I would rather bet to win the Super Bowl.
I think I'd rather bet him to win MVP. Like, they have no playoff experience. So, like, I'd rather bet them to have a ton of regular season success, which will win them the MVP award, as opposed to, like, facing the Chiefs in a playoff game or facing Buffalo or Baltimore in a playoff game. I think I would rather bet them to win MVP. I haven't placed any bets on this team. The problem with this team in general, honestly, and the prices that you just read, is it's like, yeah, like, you talk to your, this is, I think, a perfect team, a team that's a perfect difference between talking to your friends about sports and making bets. Talk to your friends about sports. Oh, you know who's going to be really way better this year? The Chargers. Like, they're going to be good. Like, they're going to be really good. Like, that's exactly the type of conference. Like, they're like a very sexy team to like this year because of the coach swap and because we all watched Herbert last year and now he's going into year two. They seem to every single year have like, well, that guy was injured last year on defense and now he's back. And they have those guys again this year. The Chargers have operated like this team forever. But the difference between that and making bets is like the market reflects like a pretty bullish opinion of the team already. Like 20-1 to win MVP from a team that did not win many games last year is an upgrade, a significant upgrade. Even those odds to win the Super Bowl for a team that didn't have that much success the year before represents like bullishness compared to some of the other teams that are at the top of the odds board. That win total to be over, what was their win total again at Bet Rivers? Just so I make sure I get it right.
At nine, which for me, you asked me like MVP or Super Bowl. I'm not interested in either one of those. In fact, I'd rather have Tua 66-1 than Herbert 20-1, but like Chargers 9, I feel like at worst you push that bet. I feel like this team is not finishing under 500.
You feel like they're never going 8-9. You feel like that's not happening.
Unless Herbert gets hurt, which you know is within the realm of possibility, but like the roster's really good. And now we have what I believe is going to be a competent coaching staff.
Okay. What was their record last season?
Oh, they go like 6-10 or 7-9 last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, doesn't this reflect like an upgrade? Don't all these markets reflect an upgrade?
Sure. Yeah.
That would be my only point. It's like,
you're not wrong about that.
To me, like, you see what I mean? They're like, this is sort of like I like them too, but I have to like them more than those numbers. And I know you do with the win total. I'm not saying you don't. You do. You just said you did. But I think this is the difference between like, you know, like my brother-in-law is a huge Eagles fan, loves to talk about football. And he'll be like, oh, I think the Chargers are going to be really good this year. But then I'll be like, okay, well, like the win total's 9. Are they going to go 10-7 or better, like enough that you want to bet? And he'll be like, well,
you must be a blasted parties man.
Oh, actually he is. He's actually
I'm saying you really, must be a blasted parties. You must.
Yeah, no kidding. He's also the member of like the four people who married into the family who's probably like the most fun and gets the drunkest at the family gatherings, which is really enjoyable. In this case it is. The group needs to be loosened up sometimes. And it's getting a good job. But I would just say that's the difference. So like, yeah, I think the Chargers are going to be better. I think they're going to be pretty good, but like the market thinks they're going to be over 500, that Herbert's pretty likely compared to the field to win MVP, to compare to the other guys that are listed, and that they're pretty likely to win the Super Bowl versus, you know, 2/3 of the teams in the National Football League. So I just agree with that. Like, I also think they're going to be pretty good. I also think they're pretty likely to make the playoffs. I think I just agree.
So no interest in betting over 9 for the Chargers, huh?
No, honestly, no. Yeah, like I that's
okay.
I think they push 9 a ton. Is 10-7 more likely than 8-9? To me, no. I get that they're.
Oh man, I'd be pretty surprised if like the principal members of this team stay healthy and they go 8-9. I'd be pretty surprised.
Well, let me ask you this question: if that's true, why do you think it's still 9?
I don't know. That's probably a better question for you to answer than me.
Well, but try to argue the opposite side. Like, what is divisions, it not like?
Division's really good. Year one with the head coach, uncertainty with the head coach, uncertainty with the offensive coordinator, who definitely, you know, we have to be honest, kind of spit the bit in his one chance he had with the Detroit Lions, Joe Lombardi, but like being rehabilitated, working under Sean Payton for the last number of years, like coming highly recommended from a highly respected head coach in Sean Payton. I happen to think Staley's going to be better than I think a lot of people think he's going to be. As a first-year head coach, I think he's going to be great. So I think these are all reasons. Like, I think they're much better than Denver. We can get to Denver in a second here because these numbers are pretty similar. And it's almost like, how could these numbers be similar if Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock is the quarterback? Like, you want to tell me Deshaun Watson's the guy? We can have that conversation. But, like, no way, no how should the Chargers and Broncos numbers be similar if it's Lock and Bridgewater and Herbert and Staley on the other side for the LA Chargers?
Well, do you want to just read the Broncos? You said the Broncos markets were crazy. Do you want to read them real quick? Maybe
we could spend more time on it tomorrow because I know we want to hit these other markets in the next segment. Plus 145 to make the playoffs, minus 180 to miss, plus 600 to win the AFC West as opposed to 575 for the Chargers. Win total of 8.5, minus 1.5 on the road at the Giants in week number one.
Yeah, and Fangio year three, this is a guy who in his first years did not go over his win total. Under last season, quarterback position, got a mild upgrade depending on how much you like Bridgewater, and it still might end up being Locke, who I think is abysmal and who I would be committed to betting the under on no matter who he played for if he was going to start. They also play in a division with the two teams that you mentioned. Now that Rodgers isn't going there, and it was like, okay, the coast is clear, and I think I even said this like a month ago where it's like, well, let's just wait. I like Denver's under. We're going to do worst team. I actually kind of want to make that case for how this could fall apart next segment and why I think they might actually be valuable in that way. It's just my opinion. This is a 3-year coaching tenure that's going to come to an end with three like really miserable seasons, and the team will have to rebuild again. That's what
now, unless Elway pulls the trade for Deshaun Watson and like Watson ends up playing.
Correct.
In which case,
I said with Rodgers, like the coast might be clear now to make these bets. Like I don't have any Denver bets yet because they're such a likely landing place for quarterbacks. Like let's see how it looks in, you know, a couple weeks once this all clears.
But you agree with me though, like the difference, and forget it. Let's just have a like conversation, just us here. The Chargers are better than the Broncos, right? Like that's
right. But I think the Chargers numbers are correct, and I want to bet under on everything Denver rather than bet over on Chargers.
I think that's a good point. Now I still like the Chargers overs, but I think I like Denver unders as well. Because how are they gonna?
Nothing's changed. It's the same quarterback coach. Like, what are we even talking? Like, they have to trade for somebody. Otherwise, it's under for me on everything.
Yeah, and it's almost like, are these numbers like expecting them to pull some kind of trade? It's very bizarre to me. All right, we'll do more on Denver coming up tomorrow on the show. But coming up next, we're going to dive into some exotic markets, right? Worst regular season record. Who's going to have the most passing yards in the National Football League this season? Ken and I break that down on the other side. You better you bet Tuesday here on BetQL.
This team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right, that's going to be the mentality.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
That legendary quote, of course, courtesy of the new head coach of the Detroit Lions, Dan, a.k.a. Man Campbell. When I hear it, you know what I think of? Like those SAT questions where it's like Jared goes to play quarterback for the Detroit Lions. Jared gets hit twice, falls down once, gets up, bites two kneecaps, gets knocked down four more times, then gets up, kicks the person in the shins. How many times was Jared knocked down, and how many times did he punch the other person, and how many kneecaps were bitten? I'm just like, man.
Right.
Like,
and then it's like A, B, C, D, and then E is like B and C, and then yes. F is like C, D, and A, and then and then G is just like A, but sort of C. It's just like, oh God, my head hurts so much.
It's one of the great quotes of all time. We're going to get to the reason why we play that is because, you know, Detroit plus 400 to have the worst record in the regular season this year in the NFL. We're going to get to that. We'll do most passing yards as well. Pete Prisco joins us at the top of next hour talking National Football League. Before we get to that, though, we want to tell you about our show sponsor, our friends over at BetRivers, because Ken Barkley knows this better than anybody. Other sites offer a big bonus, but then they make you play 10, 25 or more times to actually get your cash. What is that, Ken?
Terrible.
That's bogus or BS.
Bogus.
Terrible. Terrible.
You know what we need to bring back? Bonus. Can Bonus come back this week? Maybe next week?
I don't know. I consider it sometimes. Maybe. Maybe when I come back from vacation, it'll be like a nice bonus.
What a bonus that'll be for me.
Yeah, or not. With Bet Rivers, it's simple. You play once and the money is yours always. And you can place real money wagers on the Olympics and get free bets for USA medals. You bet $500 on the Olympics, you get $1 in free bets for every bronze medal the USA wins. $1,000 on the Olympics, you get $2 for every silver and $1 for every bronze. If you bet $2,500 or more on the Olympics, you get $3 for every gold, $2 for every silver, and $1 for every bronze medal the USA wins. So you get to mix like American exceptionalism and jingoism along with winning money. What could be better than that? Remember, like always, you can get a 100% deposit match up to $250 on your first deposit. So if you out there listening or watching, if you're going to bet the Olympics, why wouldn't you bet it at Bet Rivers? They're going to give you free stuff, free money when the United States wins. So if you're going to bet the Olympics again, get that account, betrivers.com, Bet Rivers app. When you make your first deposit, they will give you a 100% match up to $250. You know, the fastest payout approvals, the best customer service, the best lines, your hometown sportsbook, that sportsbook. is Bet Rivers. Ken, let's talk about the worst regular season record market. I know this is something that's near and dear to your deranged heart. Houston, the Texans, plus 225 to have the worst record. Then we have Dan Campbell and the Lions up next, plus 400. The Jets, kneecaps. The Jets, Bengals, and Jaguars all at 10. That's a nice little dovetail in with betting is kneecaps. Jets, Bengals, and Jags at 10. The Eagles at 12. The Raiders at 16. The Giants at 20. The Denver Broncos, Ken, at 25.
Yeah, I'll sell Denver in a second. Do you think the Giants could ever have the worst record?
No.
As a Giants fan?
No, I don't think so. Unless Jones
seems so unlikely, right? I mean, it's just quarterback injury. That's what you need. But and that could be true with any of these teams that are
like the roster's too good. And I think the coach is competent enough that like I'm not bullish on the Giants this year. They're winning like five games, like at least though, five or six games.
Right. I think there are obviously teams in the upper half of the league are in the upper half of the league because they have great quarterbacks. So with any of them, the argument is like, well, that guy could get hurt and be like, well, that's true for like literally every team. What you want is like value in a team that whose quarterback does not have to get hurt in order, I think, to win, or where like the rest of the roster is so pitiful. Where even if the quarterback misses a couple games or things just spiral out of control. I brought up Denver in the last segment, and just the case for them would basically be, I think they are one of the very few teams because so many teams in the league had coaching turnover last year. There were so many bad coaches and they all had to be excised basically. And as a result of that, it just, there aren't that many candidates. When we did first coach fired, there were not that many, coaches where it's like, well, in the middle of a season, like, is this guy going to get fired? Like, is there going to be a change made really? Like the expectations are that good. So we kind of talked about like Kingsbury or Mike McCarthy. It's like, okay, maybe in these situations, but Vic Fangio has kind of been a guy who I've kind of had targeted as just like, this seems like a tenure that's coming to an end. Two very unsuccessful seasons. The bar is set, I would say, like unfairly high for the third season, just because the first two haven't been that good and the roster is pretty talented. And the problem is just the quarterback position is a disaster. And it's, even if you like Teddy Bridgewater, you have to at least admit there's a laundry list of limitations that
like
come.
Teddy's fine. He's fine. Like, he's not good. He's fine, right, is what he is.
He's also, I mean,
his floor is higher than Locke's. Is that fair? But Locke has a higher ceiling, at least in theory.
Yeah. Yeah. In theory, a great way to put that.
In theory.
I think Bridgewater also gets a lot of credit because like the last two teams that he played for is like Sean Payton in New Orleans and Joe Brady in Carolina. Like that really doesn't help him out at all. And now it's like, now you go to Denver. It's like, okay, well, is it possible this situation could be different? Do I think Drew Locke can improve? Seems very, very, very unlikely. So I think there's a way this can play out where, again, like, do you need a quarterback injury for the team to be bad? They can be terrible all on their own because of the quarterback position. I think they're also a possible candidate to make a midseason coaching change. Like, I kind of think this actually falls apart pretty fast.
And guess what happens when that happens? Here's head coach Pat Shurmur. Good luck,
right,
from a Giants,
correct,
fan. Good luck with that one.
Yep. Right, exactly. So there's a way this plays out. Like, the Chargers and Chiefs are, to me, like, both clearly better. Chiefs obviously much better in the division, and the Raiders are not awful. Like, the Raiders have a quarterback who's been around, who's like pretty productive. The Raiders have had the same coach for a long time, and you would think of like kind of stockpiling at least players that fit whatever it is they want to do. It's not like a rebuild, I guess is my point. It's not Houston, it's not Detroit, it's not the Jets, it's not Jacksonville. Vegas is at least different than that, and that's the three teams that are around Denver. Like, this to me feels like a situation that's going to fall apart and then have to be put back together again. So I want to catch it on the way down and maybe play some kind of fringe outcomes for them to be very poor. Alternate win totals for them, I think unders are a pretty good idea for a team like Denver, who has like 500 team finishing with a 500 record type expectations and is 25-1 to have the worst record. Like, yeah, they're not going to finish with the worst record a lot of the time, but there's a path to get there that doesn't involve the fluke quarterback injury. And that's just one of the reasons I kind of think they're desirable.
All right. I think you did a really good job of breaking down Denver there. So let's leave Denver off this list just for right now. And let's go through it here. I want to cross, for me, the Giants off the list. I don't think, even if like Mike Glennon has to start, if Glennon is the backup to Daniel Jones, if Jones gets hurt, I still think the Giants can win like five games this year, because I think the rest of the roster around the quarterback.
And they're
is
also
good
only 20. They're also only 20-1. Like, it's, yeah, not like we're talking about like if it was like 100-1. Or so, again, the price has to matter. Like, Denver's 25.
I'm like, just talking like which teams hurt, like, right, could actually, yeah, like, I'm almost like taking price out of the equation, which, sure, I probably shouldn't do, but just have the conversation. The Raiders at 16, I think Carr is probably too good. If Carr gets hurt, maybe we can have a conversation here, but I don't see the Raiders having the worst record. I'm higher on the Eagles than a lot of people. I know that there's a path for them to maybe be the worst, but let's cross them off for now. I feel like Urban might be a complete dumpster fire for the Jaguars. Like, that is firmly totally in the possible. Realm. No, it yeah. really is. It's firmly in the realm. But I think Trevor Lawrence is too good. Like, I think he's transcendent. I think he could have an Andrew Luck type rookie season here. So I want to cross Jacksonville off the list just for right now for me. That leaves us with the Bengals and the Jets at 10, the Lions at 4, and Houston plus 225. Cincinnati kind of stands out to me here. If we're looking outside of Houston and Detroit, more so than the Jets. And Ken, I know you dropped off yesterday while we had Mike Lombardi on hashtag right. technology. And I asked him right off the news that Burrow is cleared for training camp, not going to play in the preseason. Bengals win total 6.5. And Mike Lombardi literally says back to me, that's more wins 6.5 than Zach Taylor has in 2 years as the head coach of the Bengals. He's 6-25-1. Like, what do you think? And I said, Mike, no one cares what I think. What do you think? And he goes, I don't think so. Like, he thinks this team's going to be bad. Like, the offensive line is still a major question mark for Cincinnati. And if Burrow gets hurt again, like, they still haven't addressed the backup position. Like, Brandon Allen's still the backup. I guess he was okay last year. And it, like,
God, was he?
He's not like the worst quarterback of all time. He's not good.
Did he start the Dallas game? Didn't he start the 21-0 where they got down to Dalton like by 3 touchdowns right out of the gate? I think he started that game. Finley started the upset
of Steelers on Monday night. So this, right. yeah. So Brandon Allen didn't even get that one here yeah. where I hate to say it because I want the Bengals to be good and I love Joe Burrow. Maybe we talk about him most passing yards here, but I think if we're looking to get away from Houston or Detroit, I think Cincy at 10 with Zach Taylor, manning the ship kind of stands out to me a little bit.
Right. I mean, the two teams there alongside Jacksonville and the Jets, you'd be like, well, they're both terrible too. And be like, well, at least they have new coaches. Like, at least they have coaches who could be promising, and they both drafted quarterbacks with the first.
And Jacksonville has Trevor Lawrence.
Right. And I mean, we'll see what happens with Zach Wilson and the Jets. Like, when does he get to camp? Like, what if he ends up like getting there really late and it's like way behind the eight ball, then maybe there's a case to be made, because both of these teams, I mean, the Jets and Cincinnati, what they share is that they're easily fourth in the division and it might not even be close. At least with Jacksonville, like, Houston's behind them, and the other two teams I think are actually worse maybe than we think. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. I agree with you. I've been on record before that, like, I like Cincinnati in total under, and I will not disagree Shame. With you whatsoever here. They might be terrible. You're absolutely right. Like, I totally agree with this. We have no evidence that this team's going to be like a 500, like they have to be like very competent to like seven wins plus with this roster. And we've kind of made that case before. So
I don't think the roster is that bad though. I think the offensive line's a question mark. My issue is more with the coach. I actually think the roster is not that bad. And some of the moves that they made on defense this offseason, I don't know that the roster is like 2-15 worthy.
Right. Yes. It's not Houston. Right. Yeah. And the last point I would make is, like, we talked about Houston a little yesterday. Rather, if you like their win total under, like, if you think they're going to be awful, I think it really benefits you to bet them to have the worst record rather than bet their win total under, because there's like, think about like the needle, like the, how you have to thread this where, oh, well, I could bet them under and someone else could go 0-17, be like, it's very unlikely they go under and a team jumps them for the number one overall pick. They're at least very, very in the mix for that. And you're talking about the difference between like plus 220. I've seen plus 250 to have the worst record, and like minus 110 on a standard win total, which is going to be 4 probably. So like, how many threes are in there? How many twos? How many times do they get the number one pick with that record in a 17 game season? So that would just be my advice. If you like Houston to be awful, like they're going to be a train wreck or whatever you think, it kind of benefits you to look at this market. Maybe instead of they're under, they're probably the only team that functions like that.
If I told you Deshaun Watson was going to be Houston's quarterback this season, so he's the quarterback up to 17 games, who finishes with more wins, the Texans or Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions?
Oh, man. Detroit, I guess, narrowly.
I'll tell you what. I'm not so sure about that. We'll save most passing yards maybe for later in the show or tomorrow. We got a jam-packed hour two coming your way. Matt Moore from the Action Network, NBA draft props, and we start hour number two with Pete Prisco from CBS Sports, keeping it with the National Football.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.